power of God's word. And our text for tonight is found in verse 36. The Lord Jesus is in the ministering in a synagogue in Capernaum. And he has rebuked an unclean devil and cast out that devil from an individual. And those who were in the synagogue witnessed what had taken place. We read in verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. The little phrase we made mention of the beginning of our service is that little phrase there in verse 36. What a word is this? What a word is this? When you consider this fourth chapter of Luke's gospel, the evangelist, as it were, brings us into the battlefield where the forces of good and evil engage in conflict. From the wilderness of Judea to the synagogues in Nazareth, Galilee, and Capernaum, the captain of our salvation faced the forces of evil and the powers of hell. For 40 days and 40 nights, the dark powers of the underworld taunted and tempted the Lord of hosts in an attempt to overthrow him. But our great high priest, we know, was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so as far as the 40 days and 40 nights of temptation in the wilderness, there was only going to be one victor, one conqueror, one champion, one overcomer. It was he who went forth conquering and to conquer. One who has never lost a battle. One who has never known defeat. And in the wilderness, we see that he put his adversary, the devil, to flight. For in verse 13 we read, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. The contest then moved from the wilderness to the place of worship. Verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. What did we read in verse 13? That the devil departed from him for a season. And here the devil returns, and he once again faces the Lord Jesus. He appears again, once again to face the captain of our salvation. Because the words, an unclean devil, those words refer to an unclean demon. The word devil may be rendered demon. One of the demons of hell. And this unclean spirit that crawled out of the abyss met with the fate as the devil in the wilderness. For he was defeated, and once again he was cast out by him who was all holiness, he who was all purity and all righteousness. For verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Christ once again is the victor. But the conflict with hell's forces was not confined to the wilderness or indeed to the synagogue. In fact, everywhere the Lord's ministry took him, Satan and his cohorts were there to oppose the Lord. You go to near the end of the chapter, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them, and devils. They're there again. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak. My, how we need the Lord to smite the devil when he comes and accuses us and brings up our past sins before us. How we need the Lord to smite the devil, rebuke him and suffer him not to speak. We need the Lord to smite the devil with a dumb spirit. And they knew that he was Christ. But while he may have been plagued with devils and demons and the spirits of darkness, our great King of glory was always the victor, always the victor. Victorious in the wilderness, victorious in the places of worship, victorious as he walked and taught. And it is how he defeated the devil that we want to consider this evening, because the weapons of his warfare are not carnal. For the weapons of his warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What weapon did the Savior use against the forces of evil? What weapon did the Lord use against the devil, against Satan, against his demons? Tell you what weapon he used. He used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And every time the devils faced him, he used the sword of the Spirit, and every time he slew the devil. That's the power of the Word of God. And when he wielded this sword in the synagogue, those that were gathered there, we're told, were all amazed. And spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. What a word is this? Notice, it's not a question. It is an exclamation. They were amazed, and they exclaimed, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. What a word is this indeed? The sword of the Spirit. It reminds us of what David said regarding the sword of Goliath. David said regarding Goliath's sword, he said, there is none like it. Give it me. We have something here in our hands tonight that's better than Goliath's sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. And with this sword, we can defeat the devil every time he comes against us. What a word is this? One is to notice with regard to the power of God's word that it is the word that disturbs the devil. It is the word that disturbs the devil. There is nothing that disturbs the devil and his demons more than the faithful preaching of God's holy word. The Lord had entered into the synagogue in Nazareth where he had been brought up. And the minister handed him the book or the scroll. And when he had found the place, the Lord opened the book and he began to read, and he read from Isaiah 61. And while he read, the people again were amazed, for we're told in verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words, or the words of grace, which proceeded out of his mouth. But it didn't stay that way. As the Lord continued to preach, the opinions of the people turned, and they showed great opposition. For we read in verse 28, all they, notice change. In verse 20, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now verse 28, all, wasn't part of the congregation, all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Doesn't it show you how fickle people are? At the beginning of his ministry, they were filled with wonder at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. But then as the Lord preached to them and gave them the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, they turned against him. And when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were ready to kill him then, and his ministry had only just begun. How often was Paul battered and bruised and beaten because he preached the word? See, the word disturbs the devil. The word of God will always disturb the devil. It is the word that smites the conscience. It is the word that convinces of sin. It is the word that converts the sinner. And we can say then, oh, what a word is this. And here the Lord Jesus, the incarnate word, had only to enter the synagogue in Capernaum, and a demon rose up against him. The word that disturbs the devil. Notice the presence of the devil. We should not think it a strange thing to find a devil or a demon in a place of worship. We quoted those words last Sabbath day, Zechariah 3 and verse 1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Joshua, the high priest, was ministering unto the Lord, and we're told, and Satan was at his right hand to resist him in the temple, in the place of worship. Satan was right there at the very right hand of the high priest, as it were, going toe to toe with God's servant as he ministered. This Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And why may we expect then to find a devil in a place of worship? The Lord Jesus gives us the answer. In Mark chapter 4, you have the story, the parable of the sower. And then the Lord interprets the parable for his disciples. And in Mark 4 and verse 14, the sower soweth the word. The word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And so if the Lord tells us here that Satan is present where the word of God is preached, where the good seed of the gospel is sown, Satan is there. He cometh immediately and taketh away the word. What do we know about the word? Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And man that is born in sin is in darkness. The God of this world that blindeth the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel will shine in upon their souls. You see, natural man is in spiritual darkness, and that's where the devil wants to keep him. And that's why he'll be there to resist the preacher. That is why he will be there to steal away the word, because the entrance of the word giveth light. And he wants to keep the sinner in darkness. But we thank God. As Paul said in Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Power of God. The word is the power of God. And we can say, oh, what a word is this! For it breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. Praise the Lord. That's the power of the word. Just as it set the man in the synagogue of Capernaum that day, set him free. That's why the people said, what a word is this? As well as the presence of the devil, we also have the plea of the devil. For there we read in verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. That's his plea. Let us alone. What have we? Notice the plural. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that was to be expected. Because what would a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, what would that man want to have anything to do with Christ? Those words, "What have we to do with thee?" those words may be rendered, "What have we in common?" Of course, the answer is nothing. There's nothing in common between the devil and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would men and women today who love their sin and love their uncleanness and love their way of life want to have anything to do with a holy Savior? For when they hear the preacher lift up Christ as the Savior of men, the response is the same. The response is the same as the response that came from the man in the synagogue. "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" That's why sinners will sit under the sound of the gospel and hear the word and hear about Christ, the Savior of men, and hear about the cross work and the shed blood, and yet go out without Christ. What have we to do with thee? You see those words? "Let us alone." In the original, it's just one word. And that one word is "away." And so the unclean spirit, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he simply said, "Away." What have we to do with thee? You know what that reminds me of? Reminds me of that chant that went up when the Lord Jesus stood in the judgment hall of Pilate. Pilate challenged the people, "Shall I crucify your king?" They said, "We have no king but Caesar." "Away with him. Crucify him. Away with him. Crucify him." And you know something? That chant can still be heard in many a place of worship today. The word is preached. Christ, the Savior of men, is preached and lifted up. And men who sit in the pew say, "Away with him." Just as the unclean spirit said in the synagogue in Capernaum. That's what sinners say and say repeatedly over and over again every time they hear the gospel. "Away with him." What have we to do? What have I to do with thee? What have we got in common? That's what this unclean spirit said. You're the devil's presence, the devil's plea. Then you're the devil's perception. Here the unclean spirit reveals how much he knew about Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 34, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." This came from a devil. This came from one of the demons of hell. And this demon from hell said, "Thou art the Holy One of God." It's the devil's perception. What was this devil aware of? He was aware, first of all, of the Lord's intention. Because he said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" And we could answer, "Yes, he is." That's the Lord's intention. And the devil was aware of it. This devil knew why the Lord had come. Turn over to Hebrews 2. In Hebrews chapter 2. And there the apostle says in Hebrews 2, verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same," that is Christ, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." That's why he has come. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." That he, through death, might destroy. That's the intention of the Lord. And John, his first epistle, emphasizes the truth. 1 John 3 and verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose," here it is, "for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The very thing this unclean spirit said to Christ, "Art thou come to destroy us?" Yes, he was. That's why he came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what the Lord did for this poor soul in the synagogue in Capernaum. He destroyed the works of the devil in that man's life and delivered him from that evil fiend from hell. That's what he did. He destroyed the works of the devil in that man's life. But how did he do it? Power of his word. What a word is this? "For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." There's the power of the word of God. We have the word of God. We can use the word of God against the accusing spirit that comes against us. What a word is this? The devil also, or not only, recognized or was aware of the Lord's intention, "Art thou come to destroy us?" He was also aware of the Lord's identity. The Lord's identity. Because he said, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." You know, all the devils and the demons that are in hell, every one of them knows the identity of Christ. Christ. Mark tells us in Mark 3 and verse 11, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And again, Luke informs us of the same thing. Read it there, verse 41. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. The devil's in hell. No more about Christ than some men who occupy pulpits in this country. Because there are men who occupy pulpits and they don't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus. They have preached that. They have written about that. They deny the virgin birth. They deny the deity of Christ. They deny his sinless life. They deny his bodily resurrection. I'm telling you, that's the truth. And the devil's in hell no more. And will confess to more and will admit more than apostate ministers scattered throughout the world. I know thee who thou art. Didn't I mention there a few weeks ago about some chaplain or other, some retired minister, and he's the chaplain in the Golden Plough Lodge. And he wrote an article in the local paper and said, atheists have nothing to fear. Because he's an atheist. And he's a minister. He'd gone through some kind of theological training, and that's what they turned out. I thought to myself, atheists have everything to fear. It's the fool who said in his heart there's no God. And they'll find out to their cost, their eternal cost, there is a God. But a boy like that will not confess and not admit that Christ is the Son of God. Because he doesn't even believe in God. Whatever money he's getting paid, he's taking it under false pretenses. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. The devils know the identity of the Lord Jesus. I know. That's what the devil said. I know thee who thou art. But let's bring it down into the pew. Let's go from the pulpit to the pew. And there are men and women sitting in churches today and have sat in churches for years. And they've sat under the preaching of a faithful servant of God who has preached the deity of Christ, who has preached the virgin birth of Christ, who has preached the sinless perfection of Christ. And they know it all. They could say with this devil, I know thee who thou art. Thou art the Holy One of God. But the sad thing is that those same souls will go down into hell crying, I know, I know, I know. And they will join the devils in hell who know who Christ is. They know all about the Lord. They know who He is. But they don't know Him experientially as Savior. It's the word that disturbs the devil. This devil was disturbed, all right. For the devil said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee?" It's the word that disturbs the devil. It's the word that defeats the devil. We have seen and indeed experienced the preaching of the word of God. It will always disturb the devil. Joseph Scriven, years ago, stood on a street corner in this town, preached in the open air. He was arrested and held in a police station overnight. Why? Because he preached the word. And that's quite a few years ago. You see the opposition there is to a man standing on the street corner preaching the gospel. They throw things at him. One of our men over in England was standing holding his Bible, preaching in the open air, and a boy came up and snatched the Bible out of his hand. The preaching of the word disturbs the devil. The devil's crowd can't have the word of God. But we rejoice and praise the Lord. The word defeats the devil. It disturbs him and defeats him. And there's this same word which will always defeat the devil. What a word is this? Notice first of all the response. No sooner had the unclean spirit spoken than the Lord responds in verse 34. In verse 34, we have the words of the unclean devil. And then in verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace." He responded to the evil fiend as the Savior had done so often. How did he respond? He responded by the word, or with the word. He rebuked the devil. He responded with the word which he so skillfully used during the temptations in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus quoted three passages of Scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. The devil said in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Luke, the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God," see the devil's always at it, "if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." And Jesus answered him, "How?" saying, "It is written." Answered them with the word. Verse 7. "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Answered him again with the word. I want you to notice the devil can quote Scripture too. Never quotes it correctly. There in verse 10. But then we read in verse 12, "And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is said, it is written, it is written." Every time. And what happened? Verse 13, as we've already read, he departed from him. He defeated the devil with the word. He defeated the devil with the use of the word. Oh, what a word is this! And when the scribes and the Pharisees confronted the Lord Jesus, attempting to catch him out in his words, they did the devil's work. How did the Savior answer them? Matthew 12, verse 3. Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered and they that were with him? Another occasion he challenged them, saying, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Matthew 19, verse 4. On another occasion he put it to them, have ye not read that which was spoken by God, saying, Matthew 22, verse 31, and speaking about himself, he said to his false accusers, have ye not read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. Have ye not read? Have ye not read? Have ye not read? Every time he defeated the devil and the devil's crowd, the word of God. You can't go wrong when you use the word. And when the devil's crowd comes to your door in the form of Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, you'll defeat them every time with the use of the word. I want you to notice something. Whenever the devil came and tempted the Lord in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus knew what word to use against him. The Lord Jesus was, of course, familiar with the scriptures. And we want to defeat the devil in whatever shape or form he comes, we need to know the word. With authority and with power. And we can confront the Jehovah Witnesses, we can confront and defeat them and the Mormons and whoever else comes to the door if we have a hold of the word of God. We'll slay them every time. Praise the Lord. What a word is this? This is a great word. This is a great word, this word of the living God. So we've seen the Lord's response. We then see the Lord's rebuke. The Lord Jesus immediately rebuked the evil, unclean spirit. For the Lord said, hold thy peace. Those words may be rendered, be muzzled. The way you would put a muzzle on a dog. I'm sure you have some dogs in your neighborhood and you wish somebody would put a muzzle on them. Because they'll bark and 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 they'll bark. Put a muzzle on them. That silences them. The Lord put a muzzle on the devil. Hold thy peace, the Lord said. In other words, the Lord said, be muzzled. And that's what he did. The same word is used elsewhere in Matthew 22 and verse 12. He said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Word speechless is the same word. Muzzled. He had nothing to say. The parable of the man who came to the wedding feast and he didn't have the wedding garment on. And when he was challenged about it, it says he was speechless. That's what the Lord did to the devil. He rendered the devil speechless. And how did he do it? He did it by the word. What a word is this? In verse 41 of Luke 4, "And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak." Muzzle them again. Remember how the Lord rebuked the storm? He rebuked the wind as he rebuked the devil. As he rebuked the unclean spirit and silenced the devil and silenced the unclean spirit, so he silenced the storm. How did he do it? By the word. Same way again. And the disciples, we're told, said, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They obey his word. What a word is this? Notice the Lord's rescue. The Lord rebuked the unclean devil with the words, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Then we read, "He came out of him and hurt him not." I wonder what would have happened to this man had the Lord not have delivered him by the power of his word. What would his end have been? He was under the control of an unclean devil. Where would that unclean devil have eventually led him? What depths of sin, what quagmire of iniquity would the devil have led this man into had the Lord not have delivered him? In Revelation 2 and verse 24, the Lord said to the church at Thyatira, "As many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan." My, what an expression that is. The depths of Satan. And we hear all the time in our news broadcasts about men who plunged into the depths of Satan and where Satan has led them and where Satan has left them. But the Lord, through his word, rescued this man in the synagogue. What a word is this, the power of the word of God. Just as the Lord has rescued us. Do you ever give it a thought? Where would you and I be tonight if the Lord hadn't saved us? Before I was saved, I never heard the gospel until Dr. Paisley came to the Temperance Hall in Tandragee. I heard the gospel for the first time in my mid-20s. Where would I be tonight if I hadn't heard the gospel? Where would I be tonight if I hadn't got saved on the 5th of May, 1969, in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church? Where would you be? Where would any of us be tonight? If we had not have heard the word. And my, because in God's providence and grace and mercy, he brought us under the sound of the word and he saved us. What a word is this. What a word is this. For that word rescued us from the depths of Satan. I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. Once evil led me, but now God reigns. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Broken forever our sin's dark chains. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. He rescued me, his own to be. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. Oh, how I praise him. Through all eternity, a brand from the burning. He rescued me. How did he do it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Last place, and quickly, we have the word that dismissed the devil. The Lord uttered the command, come out of him, and we're told he came out. See, the devil and the demons of hell, every one of them to Jesus must bow. And when the Lord enters a man's life, the devil must leave. As it is written again and again, and devils came out of many. He dismissed the devil. What did that make the man? It made the man a changed man. Did it not? The unclean demon was dismissed from this man. His life was changed. He was no longer the influence of the devil. The spirit of uncleanness had been removed from his life, and he had been changed. Obviously, the people in the synagogue witnessed the change, for it is recorded, and they were all amazed. Spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this, for with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. What a word is this. See, it's the preaching of the word applied by the Holy Spirit to the hearts of men and women that changes lives. Changes hearts. The word changes homes. Changes habits. The word of God gives hope to the hopeless. The word of God gives help to the helpless. The word of God gives health to the sin-sick soul. What a word is this? We don't need new methods. We don't need a new message. It's the old, old story. 'Tis old, yet ever new. The old, old story. Praise the Lord, it's true. We just keep at it. We just keep at the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to a dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What a word is this? Change the man. Cleanse the man. For the unclean spirit went out. Praise the Lord. What a word is this? Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God and loving Father, we rejoice in thy word. How thy word does indeed change lives, change hearts, change homes. O Lord God, I pray that more and more people will come under the word, that their lives might be changed and they might be redeemed as brands from the O Lord God, make this church rescue me. Use the witness, Lord. We're not hear that, well done, my good and faithful servant. Write thy word upon our hearts tonight. May we rejoice in the word. And may we be able to say, what a word is this. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Be with us throughout this week. May thy good hand rest upon us for good. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.